Good morning. Our scripture reading this today is Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. May God add a blessing to the reading of this word.
Now, I know that some of you have probably heard this story before, or if you got my book, The Daily Grind, God with Your Coffee, you may have read this story before, but today I think it bears retelling, so bear with me on that. In my late teens and early 20s, when Ron and I first started dating, we attended a little Baptist church in Lakeland, Florida, and one of our very best friends, Phil Young, was the music director. And so Phil asked me, and here's a picture of us together a few years after we all got married, but Phil and Janet, Ron and me, we were all friends, and Phil asked me one time, would I be willing to consider being the church organist, to which I, just as I normally it's kind of my go-to place. I said, oh, sure, even though I had no training on the organ. But anyway, it was great because Janet, who's in this picture, was the pianist. And she and I, now we had worship services. Y'all need to remember this. You probably do. We'd have worship on Sunday morning and Sunday evening and then on Wednesday evening. So it was expected that everybody who went to church a lot. A lot. And so Janet and I, in addition to preparing for the hymns that were going to be sung at these services together, we also worked on duets that we would do during the offertory or special music. And I remember one that really was really great. We were playing this offertory, I think it was Victory in Jesus or something like that, real upbeat tempo song, and it was lively, and we just played it with precision, got everything right, ended it on a high note. The congregation erupted in applause. I was so proud of myself, so proud of myself. And in fact, I was so proud of myself that as I was stepping down the chancel to get to the pew after saying things, I missed the first step, and I went tumbling down to the floor. Now, sure enough, I descended, right? I descended down those steps really quick. And, you know, it was okay. Nothing was bruised in my body except my bruised ego. But that experience has served as a powerful metaphor that I have kept with me throughout all these years to remind me to not get too caught up in myself, because every time I do, I know that I'm probably headed for a fall. Yep, Proverbs 16:18 has it right. Pride goes before the fall. Pride goes before the fall. Today, as we continue our sermon series, Do Unto Others as You Would Have Them Do Unto You, we're going to be talking about humility as one of the most important characteristics of the way of Jesus. And so, as we prepare our hearts to hear the word of God for us today, will you join me in prayer? Loving and gracious God, we give you our thanks this day for this opportunity that you give to us to meet you where we are in all of our brokenness, in all of our struggles, in all of our joys. But Lord, that you meet us with full love and acceptance. And so we pray, God, today that we might have hearts that are open to you. And I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be in keeping with your will and your way and your love for us. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus, who comes to show us the way. Amen. Okay. Well, when I thought about our theme, humility, for this series, I couldn't help but think of my own struggle between pride and humility in my life. And while it is something that all of us deal with and struggle with, perhaps, particularly for me as an Enneagram type 2 personality, And there's a few of you here that know about that yourselves, living in that. But for that, for those of you who not studied the Enneagram before, it's something that we really do promote in our church for learning more about ourselves and why we think and act and feel the way we do, as well as others who may be different from us. And so next time the class is offered in early 2025, I hope those of you who hadn't taken that class will learn together about it, because I think it's a very, very important part of the faith journey, as well as understanding yourself. But if you have taken a class, you'll know that for each of the personality types that we look at, there's always a vice and a virtue with each of the personality types. And so for twos on the Enneagram, pointing at myself here, the vice is pride. The vice is pride. And I gave you a perfectly good example of how I experienced it in my life, and I continue to struggle with that in my life. And that happens most frequently when we're at that dark place in our lives, the place where we're not the most healthy or self-aware. Hopefully, as we become more self-aware, we catch it before it gets too pronounced in our lives. And then, of course, when I am moving into humility more and more in my life, in humility, that is an indication of growth and self-awareness. And so, as I said, it's something that particularly twos deal with a lot, maybe, but no more than probably the rest of us, because we all deal with that. In fact, as we were reminded a couple weeks ago, Micah 6:8 tells us, what does the Lord require of us but to do justice and love kindness? And most importantly, you remember the third part? Walk humbly with your God. Be humble. Walk humbly with your God. And so today we're talking about what that means to be humble as we walk on our faith journey with God. Why? Because you and I need to remember, and I say this a lot, that God is God and I am not, and neither are you. In our scripture reading today from Ephesians, we hear these words. I, therefore, a prisoner in the Lord, beg you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Whew. Talk about a run-on sentence. But I'm going to help us to unpack that just a little bit, okay? The word that begins this passage of scripture after I, the word is therefore. And that is a very important one as you're reading the book of Ephesians, because it follows, chapter 4 follows chapters 1 through 3, which talk about the doctrine or the theological foundation of the church as it seeks to answer the question of why it is that the church exists. Why? Now, these chapters discuss the gospel of salvation from sin and death through Jesus Christ. It talks about the Holy Spirit, which gives the church the power to be witnesses of Christ's message of good news. And it talks about Paul's ministry to the Gentiles, a calling by the Spirit for the ongoing work of Christ in the world, not just to the Jews, but to the whole world. And after laying out this foundation of faith, chapter 4 begins to talk about the so what of this theology that leads believers from belief to action. If this is what we believe, chapters 1 through 3, therefore, chapter 4 says, here's what we need to do. And what action is this prisoner of the Lord urging and begging the faith community of Ephesus to embody in their everyday lives? He writes this, I beg you to walk in a manner worthy of your calling to which you have been called. And what is this manner? This manner. It's a manner marked with humility. It starts with humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. I beg you to walk means to live your life in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And what is the calling to which you and I have been called? Jesus says to every single one of us who would be his disciple, he says, follow me. Follow me. I am the way. Follow this way that I am offering you. Follow my way and you will find truth. You will find life. I beg you to walk in a manner worthy of this calling. And so how do we do that? How do we walk? As we said, the author of Ephesians says, walk, live your life with humility and gentleness and patience, bearing one another in love. Now, is it just me? Or do you also see how intentional and disciplined, how hard this life of living the way of Jesus is? Anybody else notice that? And if the Christian life is so hard and disciplined, why do we do it? Why are we called to live this way? It's an important thing to ask this question, why? And the author of Ephesians gives us the answer. The answer to that question of the manner that we are called to live is so that the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace will be maintained. This is what it means to walk humbly with our God. This is what it means to be the people of God who will draw others into God's kingdom. This is the way people in the world will say, see how they love each other? I want to be a part of that. Unity. It's an important word, not just for Paul, but for Jesus. In John's gospel, Jesus prays that we may be one. In chapter 17, you may have read that before. But not just for the disciples in the first century, Jesus also prayed for you and for me in the 21st century. Did you know that? John chapter 17, verses 20 to 21 says this. Jesus is praying. He says, I ask not only on behalf of these, but also on behalf of those who will come to believe in me through their word, that they may all be one. But that call to unity isn't the same thing as uniformity. Amen? Amen. The mystery of God that is revealed in Jesus Christ and results in the reconciliation of things, Jews and Greeks. Think about that in the first century world, the most far apart people that they could be. It does not obliterate the distinctions between these different groups. Greeks did not have to become Jews in order to become Christians. We were never intended to give up our beautiful diversity. We are, as we've said many times, diverse by design. God meant it that way. But that diversity can present its own challenges, right? And that's part of why this call about bearing with one another exists. I mean, I love it when it's bear with one another in love. I mean, it's not easy. It's not easy to do as being a part of the body of Christ. Some of you may remember a couple of weeks ago, if you were here, when we considered the word kind, because when we started our Do Unto Others sermon series, every single week we're looking at a different word that describes the kind of characteristics that God calls us to. And we started with kindness, as in the loving kindness of God to which you and I are called. And we said that the root of the word kind is the same root for the word kin, meaning that we as human beings are all kin. In fact, according to the Human Genome Project, 99.9% of our DNA is identical to every other human being. And we have to remember that. We have to remember that we are all related, even in the midst of that teeny tiniest of part of our DNA that brings this rich diversity into our web of communion. Yes, God's character of kindness calls us to remember that we are all kin. Even those that we don't like too much, we're still related to each other. And here's something else that's really, really cool. The root of the word human is the same as for the word humility. It literally means on the ground, as in from the dust you came and to the dust you will return. And here's the thing we need to remember as we face this truth about our common humanity. Listening is what helps us to find that place of humility, even in the midst of our many differences. When we will take the time to really listen to each other and hear each other's fears and anxieties and pain, you and I have the opportunity to return to the ground of our hope. The hope that comes from the fact that we are all experiencing the pains of being human. We are all experiencing the hope that God gives to us of reconciliation, not only with each other, but with God and God's will and way for our lives. Our scripture lesson calls us to remember to look first at our neighbor as a person, not a position. Let me say that again. To look first at our neighbor as a person and not a position or a race or any kind of stereotype we might want to portray on each other. We are called to look first at each other as those who God loves so much that Jesus came into the world to show us the way of a life of humility. Humility is needed and is something that can be cultivated in your life and mine as we ask for God to give us that gift of grace. And speaking of grace, there's another word that Adam Hamilton has suggested, a word that is related to humility that can also help us as we are endeavoring to live in this world together. And that word is humor. Humor. It comes from the very same root, humus, as do the words human and humility. And why is that important? Well, humor can be a way of cooling things down remarkably well in the midst of conflict, and maybe even help us to get over ourselves, to get over our pride for the sake of the gospel. A great example of this is found in a heartfelt speech that I came across this past week by President Ronald Reagan and the Speaker of the House, Tip O'Neill, who were in, of course, different political parties. Often Reagan's political opponent, you know, Speaker of the House, if they're different on the different side of the aisle, they're opponents with each other. But I want to invite you now to listen and watch this clip that takes place a couple
Reverend
decades clergy,
ago. Mr. Prime Minister, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, I want to begin tonight by saying how touched I am to know that Tip wanted me here this evening. Why? He even called me himself last week and said, Mr. President, make sure you don't miss the dinner Tuesday night. But to be honest, I've always known the Tip was behind me. Even it was only at the State of the Union address. As I made each proposal, I could hear Tip whispering to the George Bush, forget it. No way. Fat chance. I think it was inevitable, though, that there'd be a standoff between us. Imagine one Irishman trying to corner another Irishman in the Oval Office. But despite all this, Tip wanted me here. He said that since it was March 17th, it was only fitting that someone dropped by who actually had known St. Patrick. And that's true, Tip. I did know St. Patrick. In fact, we both changed to the same political party at about the same time. Now, it's true that Tip and I have had our political disagreements. Sure, I said some things about Tip, and Tip said some things about me, but that's all history. And anyway, you know how it is. I forget. I I just follow that old motto, forgive and forget, or is it forget and forgive? But ladies and gentlemen, I think you know Tip and I've been kidding each other for some time now, and I hope you also know how much I hope this continues for many years to come. A little kidding is, after all, a sign of affection, the sort of things that friends do to each other. And Mr. Speaker, I'm grateful you have permitted me in the past, and I hope in the future, that singular honor, the honor of calling you my friend. I think the fact that... I think the fact of our friendship is testimony to the political system that we're part of and the country we live in. A country which permits two not so shy and not so retiring Irishmen to have it out on the issues rather than on each other or their countrymen.
What wonderful and wise words that come from a posture of humility. And while it might seem like a long, long time since our country's political leaders were that way with each other, I have not given up on the possibility that we can be better. We can be better. Amen? With God's grace and a humble heart, we can do better. Yes, it's hard to listen to people with whom we disagree. It's easier to assume the worst about them. But the commitment to love includes listening. And when you and I truly listen, when we make that every effort to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which we have been called to follow Jesus, with humility and gentleness, with patience and bearing with one another in love, and maybe even a little bit of self-awareness and humor, we have a pathway to unity in the bond of God's peace. Maybe so. May it be so. We talked about this 2 weeks ago, that God can still do a work through God's people to transform the world if we can start with it here, and other churches can start with it there. We can take it out into the world, and believe you me, we can make a difference. Maybe so in your life, maybe so in my life, that we place aside our pride and take on the yoke of Christ, the yoke of humility. And the people of God said, amen and amen.